Hello and welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. I'll read God's word for us now. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. Grace and peace be to you from God, the blessed and only ruler, King of kings and Lord of lords, who dwells in unapproachable light now and forever. This Tuesday, as a country, we're going to celebrate the 247th birthday of the United States of America. And if this celebration is like all the other ones that I've seen, we'll celebrate with flags and fireworks. And this year, four F-35s flying right over our church. It's a day you look forward to as a country, right? But the freedom that we enjoy as a people of this great nation has come at a great cost. One of the ways of impressing upon us as people the great cost of our citizenship is by studying our own history. We begin to appreciate more what we have when we look at what was sacrificed for us at places like Yorktown and Antietam and Midway. Without battles like these, this Tuesday would be very different. Now, you may not remember the ebbs and flows of the siege at Yorktown. You may not be able to recall all the generals who were in command at Antietam or exactly why the 2.4 square miles of Midway was so hotly contested. But you know that each was crucial. Without Yorktown, we don't have our independence. Without Antietam, we wouldn't still be the United States of America. And without Midway, we might not have those F-35s flying over our heads. The importance of what happened in the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and World War II is why we recognize places like Yorktown, Antietam, and Midway. But those aren't the only places that are foundational to our freedom. The cost of our citizenship. In August of 1814, the war that we know as the War of 1812 was still going on. In August, the British attacked Washington, D.C. They burned the Capitol building, the White House, and the Library of Congress, among other places. 2 weeks later, the British Navy had their sights set on Baltimore. It was our third largest city. The only thing standing in their way was Fort McHenry and its 1,000 or so defenders. For 25 hours, the most powerful naval fleet in the world rained down bombs and rockets on that little fort. You almost wonder if it felt like a lost cause to those who were fighting at Fort McHenry. But on the morning of September 14th, 1814, when the smoke and fog cleared, the folks defending our flag were still there, still fighting for their cause and their nation. And even though they had been severely outnumbered and outgunned, they fought for what they believed in. And they won a draw. Their perseverance, their tenacity ultimately forced the British Navy to withdraw. And within a few months, the war that we now know as the War of 1812 came to an end. Now, it's hard to call it a victory for the United States. I suppose who won the war depends on whose history you read. But as a country, the United States had finally earned global respect. And part of the reason for that was the faithful service of those few fighters at Fort McHenry. They had helped secure freedom for many more. This weekend, we celebrate the freedom that others fought for and won for us. But even as we put on the red, white, and blue and shout and sing patriotic songs and slogans, as Christians, we must remember we have a greater citizenship to celebrate. This world only has its mind set on earthly things, but we as Christians know that, as Paul says in Philippians 3, our citizenship is in heaven. And so our mind cannot be set on only earthly things, because our citizenship is among a people that is far greater than the United States of America. As great as our country is, we have a greater country we look forward to. And so we think, we talk, and as Christians, we live differently. That's one of the great points that Paul drives home as he writes this letter we call 1 Timothy. In this letter, Paul is writing to the young pastor that he stationed in the city of Ephesus, a man he looked at as his spiritual son. The words we consider today are particularly inspiring. He says, "You, man of God, flee from all the sinful ways this world looks at their lives, and instead pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of eternal life." Paul implores Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. You see, Paul knew Timothy's fight. Throughout this letter, Paul detailed the struggles that he knew Timothy was facing in Ephesus. He knew that he was dealing with powerful people who were angry and selfish and violent. He knew there were many that he was serving who were downtrodden financially, emotionally, and spiritually. But it wasn't just the citizens of Timothy's city that was hurting. His church was struggling too. You see, there were some who had been part of that congregation when Paul was there who had abandoned the faith entirely. There were others who were teaching false doctrines and slandering the work of our Savior. Even among the faithful, there were those who wondered if this young pastor, Timothy, was really the right guy to be leading their congregation. Paul recognized Timothy's physical, emotional, and spiritual struggles in shepherding this flock. You see, some of the Ephesians thought that what they really needed was Paul to return. Truth be told, part of Timothy wanted that too, but Paul could not come back to Ephesus again, so instead he wrote this letter to encourage their young shepherd and them in their fight. Fight the good fight of faith, Paul implored. See, it wasn't just Timothy that needed to hear this. The Ephesians did too. You see, one of the great difficult struggles that they were dealing with was figuring out the connection between faithful living and God's blessings. It only seemed natural to think that godliness was the best way to get on God's good side. And, well, if you're on God's good side, you surely get his good blessings. Some were actively teaching this false doctrine, this theology of glory, this prosperity gospel. To combat this nefarious lie, Paul encouraged them to fight the good fight of the faith. He wanted them to see that when you're only trying to appear godly so that you can get the good life, you're inevitably going to fall into hypocrisy. You're going to only put on a good show rather than pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. And that's a struggle that we deal with today, too. I mean, who doesn't want to do the right thing when they know they're going to be rewarded? Who doesn't want to show love when they think it's going to be reciprocated? Who doesn't show patience when you're pretty sure there's going to be a payoff? Who doesn't treat people with gentleness when you think it's going to gain you something? But ask yourself, when you show patience and love, when you do the right thing and treat people in a gentle way, whom are you really serving? Whom are you really trusting? Why do you really do what you do? You see, we must recognize that greediness can put on a godly mask and look the part from afar, but it's never the real deal. At best, it's opportunism, but it's rooted in ugly selfishness and sin. It's not rooted in faith in God. Let me show you how this ugly selfishness disguises itself. We can see this in the person who's really looking after number one. The person who's really looking after number one can do the right thing so long as it lands them that promotion or the attention or the respect that they crave. The person who is really looking after number one can be patient, they can be kind, they can be gentle, they can endure difficulties in life, but their faith isn't in God. They're patient because they believe good things come to those who wait. They're kind because they want people to be kind back to them. They're gentle because they're afraid of making someone mad at them. They're perseverant because they believe in themselves and their plans, their hopes and their dreams. But none of that is really rooted in faith in Jesus, because when the good things don't come, their patience disappears. When the world gets mean, they grow cynical and cold-hearted. When bullying seems to get the job done faster, they quickly fall in line. It's pragmatism, not faithfulness. See, that's what God lays bare for us here. Fighting the good fight of faith must begin within us. Fighting the good fight of faith isn't about taking a country back or legislating other people into more moral behavior. No, fighting the good fight begins with rooting our faith in the Word of God, where we discover the blessed and only ruler of this world taking on flesh and blood, becoming like us, and then becoming our servant. Fighting the good fight of faith continues with watching him carefully and learning from the immortal God who subjected himself to death so that we might have life. Fighting the good fight persists as we see Jesus, who possesses all might and deserves all honor, allow himself to be dishonored, making himself weak so that we might be made the people of God. Fighting the good fight of faith means fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. You see, the man of God that Paul implores Timothy to live like is the God-man Jesus. The God-man Jesus fled from all kinds of sin as if his life depended on it, when it was really ours that did. The God-man Jesus joyfully pursued righteousness and godliness, even when it brought him trouble and heartache. Jesus was faithful in the face of temptation. When the devil came to him and said, "You know, you're the Son of God. You shouldn't have to be hungry. Use your might. Turn these stones into bread." Jesus fled sin and pursued God's will. He was not hungry because God had turned his back on him. He was fasting, actively focusing his heart, his mind, his attention, his will on the Word of God and prayer. Throughout his life, Jesus fled sin and pursued God's will. But he did not do this in a monastic way. He did not do this in a way that made him look holier than thou. No, Jesus sat and ate and drank with sinners, with the gluttons and the town drunks and the prostitutes. But he never ate too much. He never drank in excess. Never gave in to the temptations of lust. He spent time with sinners so that they could see his sacrificial love for them. He gently rebuked them as they wandered astray. He patiently endured disciples who were slow learners. He loved those who hated him without reason. Jesus fled sin and pursued God's righteous will, a will that ultimately led him to the cross. On the cross, all the burdens of the sins that we have not fled from was placed upon the God-man Jesus. on the cross, the righteous one, the faithful one, the gentle Son of God, was abused and mocked. He suffered physically and was forsaken by his Father. Yet even as he died, he remained righteous and godly. He was loving and gentle, even dealing with those who were crucifying him. He prayed for his Father to forgive them. He promised that they would see him today in paradise. He endured the fires of hell. He fought the good fight to the bitter end so that we might be given sweet eternal life. Jesus, this God-man, fled sin and pursued righteousness and godliness, and this Jesus has made us his own. By grace, through faith, you are a man of God or a woman of God, so live like it. Jesus has won the war for your soul convincingly. He has exerted his might to redeem you from all sin in rising from the dead. So don't give your enemy, the devil, another inch. Live like Christ's sacrifice matters to you. Fight the good fight of faith in everything that you think, say, and do, and understand that the good fight of faith is going to look and feel different at different stages of life and in different theaters of war. I mean, when you studied the history books, you recognize that the fights at Yorktown, Antietam, and Midway were all very, very different. There were different tactics and techniques, struggles and goals, but they shared the same cause. So too, your good fight of faith will look different at different times and in different seasons of life. But the good fight of faith is always rooted in confidence in God's wisdom and his love. So that means in order to fight the good fight, we must be in the Word. Only the grace of God can train us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. Only the grace of God can teach us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives here and now in this present evil age. Only when we know how much God sacrificed for us in sending his one and only Son to suffer and die in our place. What our sin really cost the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, only then will we deny the sinful cravings of greed and lust and renounce the inclinations of anger and anxiety. Only by the grace of God will we fight the good fight of the faith. When you are young, your fight looks very different, right? You desire to go and do your own thing. So fighting the good fight of faith at this stage means honoring those that God has placed in authority over you, respecting your elders and the wise and godly counsel that they have to offer to you. Young people, fight the good fight. As you mature, so too do your desires, your struggles. You want to have money and the security it seems to offer. You want to experience life. You want to make memories and friends. You want to find someone to build a life with. Fighting the good fight means tending to the needs of your soul and those who have been entrusted to your care before, that of your stomach or your wallet or your passions or your bucket lists. Mature people fight the good fight. And those who have grown old continue to fight the good fight. See, fighting the good fight doesn't end when we want to throw in the towel. Fighting the good fight of faith ends when God says it's over. Far too many Christians only see God's purpose for their lives in the rearview mirror. With the benefit of hindsight, they see the purpose for all they've done. But here and now, they wonder, why am I still here? God tells us here, fight the good fight. Keep on fighting. People of God who listen to his word, who trust his plan, who pray for his people, you are fighting the good fight to the very end. How you finish your fight matters. It's a witness to your faith. It's a testimony about the glory of your God, and it's an inspiration to fellow Christians who are watching you fight. So finish well. Finish the fight well. Because it impacts others. You know, watching other people fight at Fort McHenry changed the way that you and I look at ourselves as Americans. You might be surprised to hear that because you don't even remember the battle at Fort McHenry or much about the War of 1812. But there was one man who was watching the fighting at Fort McHenry from the city of Baltimore. I suppose it was particularly important because he recognized his life hung in the balance. But as he watched, he was inspired to see these defenders sacrifice everything they could to deliver him. His heart went out to them. He said, "Doesn't a country and defenders like this deserve a song?" So a lawyer from the city of Baltimore, a man by the name of Francis Scott Key, sat down that day and wrote about what he saw, what he heard, what had happened. He wrote about the rockets' red glare and the bombs bursting in air. He wrote about the joy he saw when after the night was over, a flag was still standing there. Francis Scott Key penned the most popular patriotic poem, what we now know today as the Star-Spangled Banner, because of what those defenders did at Fort McHenry. It was their bravery, their courage, their perseverance in the fight that inspired him. Christian bravery, courage, and perseverance is just as inspirational. So it is for us as citizens of heaven. We can and we should be patriotic this weekend, but we ought to be even more proud of the freedom that Christ has won for us by his life, death, and resurrection. His love moves us to sing and to strive to fight the good fight with all our might. Because Christ is our strength and Christ is our light. Let us lay hold of life and it shall be our crown and our joy eternally. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name once again is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and it's been a pleasure to share God's word with you this morning to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith. If you'd like help, strength, encouragement in fighting your good fight, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find an opportunity to listen to past messages, to learn more about what we believe and teach, the fight that we fight as Christians, and to find a way to connect with me personally. I'd love to sit down and meet with you, learn more about your struggle, your fight, and encourage you with the good news of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. May God continue to bless and keep you as you fight the good fight of faith.